Welcome to the first sermon in our sermon series entitled Deep Trust, Choosing to Trust God in Defining Moments. Today's sermon title, Abraham's Faith. Open your Bible to Romans 4, verses 17 through 25, and let's begin.
I lived in western Pennsylvania, just outside of Youngstown, and we bought a house there. And when we bought our house, the previous owner, they had started to build like a fireplace, or maybe it was going to be like a hearth for like a wood-burning stove, or honestly, I don't know what they were doing, but they had these like bricked-in kind of deal, and I wanted it out of there, and so I had a plan. It started with my trusty sledgehammer. And one afternoon, I was busting up these bricks, and after, I don't know, a couple hours of busting up bricks, guess what I had? A pile of busted up bricks. And it was all over the place, mortar and just a big mess. And I thought, okay, that wasn't the best start, but I know. I'll call a buddy of mine who has a pickup truck, because we all have a buddy who, has a pickup truck, and he was really particular about his truck, so I like put plastic in the bed of his truck, and I pulled around. We had like a little walkout basement, so I pulled around to the back door, and bucket load by bucket load, I'm taking these buckets of bricks, and I'm putting it in the back of his truck. And what I hadn't exactly thought through was trucks are pretty heavy, right? And then you load them up full of bricks, and they certainly don't get any lighter. And I proceeded to get his truck stuck in my backyard, okay? I had mud halfway up the wheel wells, and I even did the, like, you know, you back up, and then you kind of rock it forward like you're going to get forward and backward. And eventually, I had his truck, like, pinned up against the back edge of our backyard, and I came to the realization that more of my bright ideas were not going to solve this problem. Some bit of Dom's creativity was not the answer here. And I remember I was tired. I laid down in bed, and I'm thinking to myself, you idiot, what on earth are you going to do? How are you going to fix this? And, the way the story ends, the next morning I admitted defeat. I found another buddy of mine who also had a pickup truck, and friend B pulled friend A's truck out of the backyard. I got the bricks thrown away. I actually ran his truck through the car wash, so when I returned it, it was like all clean. And he was like, "Wow, you didn't have to clean it for me." And I was like, "Well, you see, actually, I did." I don't know that he ever actually heard the full story there. Oh, and you know what's really kind of funny is the first truck was a Chevy, and the one that pulled it out was a Ford. So all you Ford fans, you got one up on the Chevy guys. But you know, in our lives, we can all think of moments where, try as we might, we made a plan that took circumstances from good to bad and from bad to worse, right? We can all think of times where our best ideas did not fix the problem, and we were stuck, and we didn't know where to turn, and we didn't know what to do. And we had to find our way forward in that moment of despair. Over the past handful of weeks, we've been going through a sermon series here looking at the impact of a Christian worldview on the 21st century. And while we have been doing that at the Columbia Station campus, our other campuses have been looking at the life of Abraham and looking at how his trust in God made him influential. And this morning, Doc is actually at our West campus sharing some vision with them. It's going to be a great message there. And while he's out, I wanted to share just one part of Abraham's story with all of you, where we get a glimpse into how he responded when he took his very best plan and made a mess of the situation. Abraham's story is a unique one. It starts in Genesis chapter 12, and he is a landowner and a farmer. He has actually a pretty successful life, it seems. And one day, God approaches him and he challenges him to leave what was familiar, to leave the land and his extended family, to follow God to a new land. And if he would do that, if he would trust God, God promises to make his family one of the most influential families in human history. He promises him a legacy where he would be the start of something through which God would bless all people. And in a moment of faith, Abraham says, I'm in. He says, I'm willing to take that risk. I'm willing to go on that adventure with you, God, and to see you do something amazing through my life. And as he goes on this adventure with God, you know, it's funny. A lot of times when we think about especially faithful people and stories of these great heroes of the faith, we think of them as these especially rosy kind of stories, right? All we hear are the good times. We hear how faithful they were. We hear how awesome God was. We hear how everything worked out great. And in some ways, that's Abraham's story. But at the same time, there were some difficult moments in that. He trusted God. He followed him, went to this new place. And in this new place, when he got there, there was a famine. To get supplies that they needed during the famine, he went down to Egypt. And they had a really difficult spot getting through what they needed in Egypt. His nephew had come with him, and they had a little bit of conflict and actually ended up separating their property and going into separate parts of the land. There were tribal leaders in the area that went through wars and conflicts. And throughout this whole thing, Abraham's trusting God, and he's willing to place his faith in this promise that God had for him. But there's one catch. See, the promise that God had in store for Abraham is all about his family, and Abraham and his wife hadn't been able to start a family yet. They didn't have any kids through which God could start this great promise. And in Genesis 15, it says this. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. You know, if God promises that your family's going to be special and all you've got going for you is a servant named Eleazar of Damascus, you're starting to question God's plan, right? Abram said, Behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. But behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son will be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward the heavens and number the stars, if you can even count them. Then he said, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. You see, Abram was faithful to God's plan. But just like you and I, there were moments when God's plan just didn't add up. It didn't make sense. And he was unsure. He didn't know how God was going to make this plan come to be when all he had going for him was his head servant. And Abraham starts to cook up his own plan. And I like everything about this plan except for one thing. Abraham, right? Instead of continuing in the tension, continuing in the uncertainty of how God was going to bring about his promise, Abraham decides to try starting a family with one of his wife's servants, one of the servants in his wife's part of the camp. And sure enough, she has a little son. But you can imagine that's not what God had in mind, right? If his whole promise is dependent on God blessing and using
his son to start a family of influence, to have a legacy. Taking a shortcut just doesn't seem like it's the right way to go about this. But in a difficult moment, when Abraham was uncertain, he had a lapse of faith, this is the road he went down, and I can picture him laying there in bed, well, probably laying on the couch, thinking to himself, man, I messed up. Maybe he was thinking some of the same stuff I was thinking with my buddy's truck stuck in the backyard. You know, I thought that was a good idea, but to be honest, the more I try to fix this situation, the more and more difficult it gets. The more creativity and bright ideas that I bring to the problem, the worse off we are. And as he finds himself in that moment, he finds himself unsure where to turn, we have the chance to look at an exchange that he and God have. And in it, I think that we can see a couple of key ideas that help us when we get ourselves in a jam, when we think that our best ideas are going to solve the problem, but instead, they make matters worse. And so if you brought your Bible with you or you're following along in the Christ Church app, I'd love for you to turn to Genesis chapter 17, and I'd like to read the first few verses. The Bible says this: when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between you and me and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of people. The word Abraham means father of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you into nations. Kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you. Throughout their generations will be an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give you and your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all of the land of Cana, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. You see, God wanted to do something great through Abraham's life. But because he thought God needed just a little bit of his help, he made a mistake. He seemed to have ruined the plan. But as we read this passage, I think that there's a couple ideas that we can take that can help us. And the first one is this. We don't see time frame the same way that God does. I don't know about you, but my day is planned out. I pull out my phone and it tells me where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there. It gives me little reminders a few minutes before, right? So I know to get going. I don't think that God sits at his computer at the beginning of the day and gets little reminders of Dominic's plan. Bling, in 10 minutes, Dominic thinks you should blah, 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 right? But friends, when I look at this verse, what stands out to me is really unique. It says that Abraham is 99 years old. Well, back in chapter 12, he was in his 70s. And 20-something years have gone by since that original promise, since God first invited Abraham to be a part of this adventure with him. Abraham heard that invitation. He was excited about that invitation. And like you and me, he expected that that invitation meant there was going to be some action, right? And a year goes by, and 2 years goes by, and I don't know about you, I get impatient after 20-something minutes, let alone 20-something years. And when Abraham looks to God and is frustrated by the amount of time that God's plan seems to be taking, and Abraham's bothered by that, we get a glimpse into who God is, and we understand that doesn't bother God the same way it bothered him. You know, here at the church, we're in kind of a similar situation. In December, early January, we started a partnership with the City Mission, and we're very, very excited to remodel a home for a homeless mom. There's a woman, she's lovely, Carrie has a couple of kids, and she, about a year or so ago, she was living in a board up. She was living in a vacant house because she had no other place to turn for her and her kids. And through the amazing work at Laura's home, part of the City Mission, she's been preparing for home ownership, and we took on the challenge to raise some resources. And, well, I mean, I can't even load bricks in the back of a truck, so y'all are going to have to do the work. But we're building teams. We've got tradesmen. We're excited to rebuild this a house for this mom. This is going to be an amazing opportunity for her and her kids. The only problem is we don't have a house yet. And a couple months have gone by, and Dom's getting antsy. And I feel like even this week, we had some of our best guys through a couple of properties, and we're looking at working with the community development people, we're working with the county land bank, we're doing everything we know to do, and somehow it feels like God needs us to solve his plan. Like he doesn't have the perfect home in mind, right? But when I feel that tension, I can identify with Abraham. And yet I take such courage in knowing that God's plan isn't stuck to my time frame. He's not intimidated by my schedule. He's not bound to what I think is the right amount of time. He's able to see his promise unfold at his pace. Second thing that I think is unique that we see in this verse is when Abraham is messed up, God extends grace to him. He doesn't say, Abraham, you're an idiot, you messed up, like we might expect him to say. He says, look at the words, walk before me, come near to me. You can be in proximity with me. You know, I think a lot of times when we think of God, we think of Mr. Perkins, the banker, you know, big grouchy guy, and if we mess up, we're going to get it. But what we see in this scripture is when Abraham's at his worst, he's invited to be close to God. The same God who loved him enough to invite him on that adventure all those years ago, the same God who he trusted through the ups and the downs, when he's at his worst, invites him to draw near. It's funny, about Thanksgiving time, I don't know, maybe a little bit before, I joined this little CrossFit gym in Strongsville, and I don't know, you pay them money, you show up, they beat you up. It's a great idea. And we were talking the other day, and one of the ladies, her husband hasn't been to the gym in a while, and people were teasing with her, hey, where we haven't seen him, blah, blah, blah. And her response was, He says he needs to lose some weight before he can come back to the gym. And I was like, shoot, if I knew that was an excuse, I'd have never shown up in the first place, right? I didn't know that was an option. But that's how we feel sometimes, isn't it? We feel like I need to get my act together before I can come to God. And when you're in Abraham's shoes and you made a mistake, you feel like the last person you can turn to is God. And God says, no, 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 come near to me. It's okay. We're going to stay in a relationship together, even through the ups and the downs. And that's the beautiful thing about this promise that Abraham has from God. The third piece is God's plan doesn't waver, even when we do. You see, you and I waver. We feel good when things are going good. We feel bad when things are going bad. And the ups and downs of our accomplishments and the approval of others and what people think about us, well, they become the outlook we have on our circumstances. But as Abraham is invited to come near to God, and God reiterates to him that his plan hasn't changed. The deal that he made with Abraham day one hasn't wavered one bit. We get a chance to see that God looks at us and his relationship with us, and it's not wavering. His plan remains the same. And he, after 20-something years of ups and downs, is willing to recommit to that covenant. Number four, our shortcomings drive repentance. The verse says, Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations." Because Abraham messed up, because he knew he made a mistake, he comes to God and he knows he needs God's forgiveness. He knows that this moment of repentance is available to him. And he says, humbly, "God, I messed up. God, I made a mistake." And God's quick to reconnect with him. I've been reading a book by Erwin McManus. He's a pastor in California. And it's called The Way of the Warrior. And I don't know if you guys can see, but he just looks like a tough guy on this cover. If I ever write a book, I don't think they're putting my picture on the cover. It'd be cool if they did. And he's kind of into this ancient samurai warrior thing, and it's all about kind of this warrior code. It's really kind of an interesting thing. But in it, he has a section where he talks about the difficult things that samurai warriors went through. And he applies it to our lives by saying this: there's a journey ahead of you. It will require great strength. There are many battles yet to fight. In some, you'll know victory. In others, you'll taste defeat. But no battle will steal your life like the battle for your soul. If you're not careful, fear will drive you to run for your life and run from your life. And even when we run, God has an amazing way of meeting us as we hide in our own wilderness, helping to restore our strength and calling us back to himself. He says, "My story is not the story of me with God. It's the story of God with me. And even when I've chosen to run, God has stuck with me. When I've chosen to hide, God found me." In our lives, when we're at our worst, God has this amazing way to reconnect with us and offer to us the opportunity to reconcile ourselves to him. Number five. First one, God is not intimidated by our time frame, right? Second, when we mess up, he invites us to be close to him. Third, he doesn't waver. Fourth, we have the chance to repent and reconcile ourselves to God. But number five, God sees our identity through his faithfulness. Instead of seeing you and I as some collection of events, and some are good and some are bad, and when the good ones outweigh the bad ones, we're good. God sees us through his faithfulness. God understands our identity based on his ability to see that he's faithful to the end. You see, throughout the story, Abram is referred to by his given name. But here, it says, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be changed to Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, I will make you into a great people, and kings will come from you. You see, when God looked at Abraham, he saw him through this lens of already being great, of already being a great nation. He saw him through the lens of his son and the 12 sons after that and the entire nation of Israel. And even though Abraham couldn't see that, in this moment, we get a sense that at the very core of his identity, at the very center of who he is, God understands him to be something more than just his mistakes. He sees him through the lens of his own faithfulness. And the same is true for us. You see, in our lives, there are moments when we have a plan. It's a good plan. There's only one thing about it that's not so good. Dom, you. And we mess it up, right? But in those moments, God desires to give us the chance to start over. God desires to give us the chance to reconnect with him, to re-engage in the promise he made with us, and to get back at the adventure that he desired to include us in. I want to close our time today by thinking a little bit about how we can apply this idea. And I think there's three distinct ways. The first is this. For a lot of people, I think even in this room as we get together here, we think about the idea of starting over, but we say to ourselves, in order to start over, I need to have started in the first place, right? We say, like, I understand this idea of recommitting to some big plan that God promises us, but I don't know that he's really promised me much of nothing. And in each of our lives, I believe that the very first thing that we need to do is we need to open our hearts to God's promise. You see, Abraham was living a pretty comfortable life when he heard God's voice in an amazing way. And he was called to be a part of something very special. Sometimes I wonder if God isn't just as ambitious to include us in things that are that special, that significant, and we're too distracted, we're too busy, we've got too much other clutter going on in our lives to even hear, to even notice. I had a story happen to me. This was a handful of years ago. There was a great couple that I knew, Harold and Nora, and Harold had been sick, and I hadn't really stayed in touch with them as well as maybe I would have liked to have, but one day I was driving down the highway, and it just popped in my head, man, I wonder how they're doing. And so I pulled out my phone, and I looked up their number, and I called, and Nora answered, and just the tone of her voice said today was not a good day. They were not doing well. And when I heard her voice, I thought to myself, okay, where am I? Where's their house? And I realized I need to get across like 6 lanes of traffic to hit the next exit in like a quarter of a mile, you know? So I got the phone. This was one of my better driving moments. I'm cutting people off. And I said to her, I says, hey, you know, I'm not too far from you. Why don't I stop over for a minute? And sure enough, I made my way over. I didn't get arrested or hit anybody. And I made it to their house, and I mean, Harold was having a tough day. And I sat with them. I don't think I said anything all that intelligent or all that helpful. I prayed a little prayer, and I was on my way. And sure enough, that evening, he passed. And I got the call that night or maybe the next morning, and I came over, and I was sitting with her. And she talked about how much it meant that I came over and I stopped in those difficult moments. And I thought to myself for a second, holy smokes, how lucky am I that I actually paid attention to that little nudge to make that call. And as proud as I was and as special as it was to be included in that moment, you know what shook me? Shook me to my core, still does. Is how many times did God have a moment like that in store for me? And I was too busy listening to sports talk radio or my nose in my Twitter mentions to even
take the time to make that call, to even be sensitive to hear him whisper to my heart. And you see, friends, whether it's a big adventure or it's just stopping over somebody's house, there are moments in our lives that God wants to include us in something amazing. And if we're not careful, the busyness of our lives is going to crowd us out. And we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. What I'd encourage you to do today, if you say to yourself, you know what, I want to get in the game. I need to hear from God to be included in something significant. Block some time out. Spend 15 minutes today. Spend another 15 minutes tomorrow. Spend just a little bit of time over the course of this week and in an hour, maybe an hour and a half, spread out this week. If you would set aside some time to be still, to quiet your hearts, to look at the pace of your life and find the places where you can make some room so that God can invite you in to the great work that he's doing and that he wants to include you in. Friends, those could be some of the most significant moments you've ever put in your schedule. Or, like I do, you could just run from one thing to the next. You could jam your day up with stuff, and you could get to the end of the day and say, I don't know, nothing's really going on these days. We cannot let ourselves miss that opportunity. I think the second group of people here are people who maybe have heard that exciting thing. There was a moment when you were really pumped about a project. You were really passionate about a cause. You were desiring to be influential for something. But time's gone by a little bit, and it's dimmed a little. It's not as exciting as it was back then. And where busyness might crowd out that message in the first place, our impatience can crush us when we have to trust God's plan over the long haul. We expect things to go a certain way, and when they don't, it can be so frustrating to us. I remember years ago, Carrie and I, we got married on a Saturday, and Monday morning we were following God's call, and we moved to Dallas, Texas, so I could go to Dallas Seminary. Matter of fact, I was in one of our Spurgeon School classes this week, and we were telling seminary stories. It was kind of fun. I don't know if God's call in everybody's life involves moving to Texas. I don't know that I'd recommend it, to be honest, but I remember how excited we were, and I was going to do their master's program there, and first couple semesters went awesome. And we were about a year in, and Carrie had this really cool job. She was teaching at a parochial high school, but that Christmas time, that school had some money troubles, and they needed to cut back, and they cut back their high school grades, and she didn't have a job anymore. And you can imagine how well compensated I was as a grad student. So we were broke, and we didn't know where we were going to do, and we didn't know what she was going to do. And I remember the excitement of that initial idea was feeling a little fragile. And if that's you today, I would encourage you, take the time to remember what that thing was that you felt God was including you in on. What was that idea? What was that promise? What was that plan that God wanted you to be a part of? Remind yourself of it. Hold on to it. Be patient to see it unfold. And know that just because it doesn't fit your time frame doesn't mean God's given up on it. Doesn't mean that God's given up on it. The third person. You heard a really cool plan. You maybe went through that season where you got a little impatient. You did everything in your ability to help God out, and now you got a mess on your hands. And you're saying to yourself, I messed this up. There's no way God's going to
invite me back to be a part of what we were once going to do together. And what's he say in this text? He says, don't worry about being ashamed. Don't worry about being embarrassed. Don't worry about feeling a little guilty. Come and be near to me. And he invites each and every one of us to start over, to humble ourselves before him, to reconnect with the call that he invited us to once upon a time. And together, we have a chance, no matter what mess we've made, no matter how half-baked our plan was, no matter how frustrated we would expect God to be, we have the chance to come to him and to see just how faithful he is, to see how he's ready to re-up that plan that he had for our lives, that invitation that he extended to us. And if we would reconnect with him, we have the chance to be used by him, to be influential. We have the chance to see him do something special in our lives and impact the lives of others. Be quick to turn back, to start over, and to ask God to renew his plan with you. Let's say a prayer together. Dear God, I'm grateful that you invite us to be a part of your good work. I thank you for the moments when, God, I feel like I've been able to be a part of something meaningful. God, I'm sorry for the moments when I'm sure you wanted to include me in something and I was too distracted or busy or overcommitted. And God, I pray for each person here, you would help us to just ruthlessly eliminate that busyness from our lives in a way where we could hear you whisper to us. Heavenly Father, as we're a part of adventures with you, just like Abraham, that original call can grow dim and we can feel that lapse of faith creeping in. God, I pray that we would be patient. We would trust you. We would know that your idea is 1,000 times better than anything we could ever cook up, and we would be willing to hold that tension between what you have in store for us and what we'd really like to see happen. Help us to do that, dear God. And last, Heavenly Father, when we make a mess of our lives, God, no matter what the circumstances are, may we be able to see your grace and your goodness, and may we return to you with repentant hearts, admitting that we need you and knowing that you are faithful to be there for us. I thank you for Abraham's example. I pray that we would make it our own. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.